Good morning, folks. It's Luke Clayton, and welcome to Campfire Talk with Larry Wysoon and myself. Larry and I have been bringing Campfire Talk to you now for over 8 years, and trust me, it's as much fun today as when we first kicked it off. Campfire Talk is brought to us by the Dallas Safari Club, Texas Wildlife Association, Sitemark, maker of the Photon XT and the Photon RT, Kuby Sausage House and Wild Game Processing in Dallas, the Choctaw Hunting Lodge, Larry's TV show, Dallas Safari Club's Trailing the Hunter's Moon, and Striper Express up on Lake Texoma. Well, folks, Mr. Whitetail, Larry Wysoon, is right across the campfire from us, and we're going to talk about maybe hunting. Who knows? Larry, thank you for being here, buddy.
Hey, it's truly my pleasure, and I'll tell you what, with this little bit of cool weather that we finally have gotten, I know a lot of bucks' necks are swelled and stuff, but I think mine's swelling as well, too.
You're getting ready. I don't know. I've noticed you and I start chuckling every time just before we start our show off each week. We know it's going to be fun. I look forward to getting with you. And I tell you, Larry, a lot of other people do, too. They enjoy the opportunity to visit with you through our little radio show here each week. I was at the... You know, I attended the Lake Fork Patriot Sporting Challenge.
I know you did, and I know it had to be great. Unfortunately, I couldn't be there due to family commitments. But
I know it.
Tell me a little bit about it.
Well, it was a great, big, huge turnout. This was a big deal. And I don't know how many people. I was there all day Saturday at the shooting range, and there was 54-man teams competing. And then, a lot of people there watching. It was a big deal. And I don't know how many people came up. Of course, it's right in the heart of a lot of folks listen to our show, our
right.
segment each week. And I had a lot of people tell me how much they enjoy the show and made me feel really good and how much they enjoy Campfire Talk. So, I just wanted to share that with you. I mean, it's
a lot of people. I appreciate them, by golly.
They like to know what Mr. Whitetail's up to. They want to know where you're at. And I did have a chance to Colonel Allen West was there, and I got a chance to meet him.
Yes, sir.
I would like you to, at some point, to spend some time with that gentleman. He is just an awesome guy. He was the keynote speaker there, but he shares the same. I know how you think and all, but he shares the way we operate, and we would like the hunting and the rights that we have in the U.S. He supports what we believe, Larry.
Yes, sir.
You'll get to meet him sometime, I'm sure.
Well,
the cooler weather that we had last week and getting a little reinforcements of that, Larry, what's that going to do to our whitetail rut? And we're into the 20th, into the third week of October, so should be right around the corner.
I tell you what, with this cooler weather, of course, a lot of times the cooler weather has very little to do with it.
I mean,
rut would occur anyway, but, what happens is that you can imagine, let's say it's supposed to be cool like it's supposed to have been, and you went in your closet and you put on every warm bit of clothing that you had, and then walked outside and all of a sudden the temperature's in the 80s, 90s, and you just go, just kind of slink back into the shadows somewhere and try to stay there until it cools off a little bit. That's kind of what's happened. But we're right at that time right now where I got my little place out north of Columbus, these bucks have been chasing out for about the last week or 10 days, and as you mentioned, we're about to kick off the rut in a lot of different places. What this cool weather does, it really doesn't kick off the rut. It just makes deer more active. They just feel more comfortable about being out. And the breeding would occur anyway, but the chasing would occur probably in the very thickest of brush or mostly at night because it's cool. That's when it does cool down. But I'll tell you what, this is such an exciting time going into where we are right now. I've rattled up a couple little bucks on my place and actually a couple of weeks ago, starting and rattled in some does as well, too, that came in to see what was going on. But with this cooler weather that we've had, the deer are more active. Hopefully in some of those areas where they got a tremendous acorn crop, most of the acorns will have fallen, and hopefully in those areas we had a lot of hogs like it moved in on my place and they're eating all the acorns. and they'll put those deer to where they try to come in to where we've got a baited card as well, too. So a lot of things working in our direction right now.
You bet. And I know, Larry, the daylight, the waning time, daylight periods is what, you know, I've learned that triggered. The rut's going to happen because of that. There's a certain term. There's a certain term for that you've told me in the past, you know, but the name for the waning daylight. But the bottom line
is...
Yeah,
I've forgotten right now.
it's a long term, you know. I've heard you... It's been a while since your A&M days, right?
Absolutely.
Anyway, Larry, what I'm getting at, the waning daylight is what does cause... triggers the rut, causes the rut. Like you said, they would rut whether there was if it was 90 or if it was 20. They would have the breeding season would occur. But you know what you just said made a whole lot of sense to me. We deer hunters just long for cold weather. You know, we just that's
oh absolutely.
And you know, understanding that the cold weather does not trigger the rut, what you said made a great deal of sense. They're going to breed anyway, but they're probably going to be up moving at night when it's cooler more than any other time if it's real hot. So,
well,
yeah.
Like I said, just imagine it being, you know, this time of year and it's 90 degrees and you've got your winter clothes on and, you know, you're just not going to be as active as you would. So when that cooler weather comes in, you know, that's going to really make deer more active. And as we've talked about in the past, too, the reason the rut occurs where it does, when it does, is so that 7.5 months later, those fawns are born at the most opportune nutritional time of the year so that that mother, that the doe can produce a good, strong fawn, and she can produce a lot of milk and maintain herself as well, too. So the reason that here in Texas, I mean, we've got areas where the rut occurs in early mid-September on the areas along the coast and where it ends in January and February, you know. And so even though we're a big state, but because we have so many different geographical, nutritional, all those kind of different changes areas of the state, we have such a varied rut from one area to the next.
That's true. And the rattling that you talked about, a lot, and I've done a lot of rattling, and with guys like you that really understand the whys about it more than I do, but I've rattled a lot in my life, and talking about rattling up bucks, folks, and... there's really not, from what I've learned, just as a layman, Larry, old hunter, I don't know if there's a time when the rattling is red hot opposed to a time not like post-rut, pre-rut. You know, you hear all that stuff. I'm not sure there's, of course, now you have to understand I'm not a biologist, but I do get a lot of my tips from you. And I've been with you when we rattle during the, what I call the hard rut. I've been right there with you, and they come running, and I've been there during the pre-rut when they came running. So I don't know. Do you think there's a see, that's putting you on the spot, isn't it?
No, I'm laughing because years ago I felt a whole lot more confident knowing what I thought I'd do than what I do these days, because some of the times when you really expect the bucks to come in the rattling, such kind of rattling horns and grunting and making all kinds of noise,
nothing happened.
And
yep.
Then one of the best days I ever had of rattling was in South Texas when the temperature was 94 degrees. There was a 35-mile-an-hour wind blowing out of the south, and the only reason I rattled is because we had a guy that had never seen anybody get the horns together, and he kept taunting me, and he said, "Well, show me how to do this. You know, so rattle up a buck. By golly, you're supposed to be knowing what you're doing." And I was just going, "Miss, he's going to work it off." We drove out in a yellow Ford pickup. I crawled on the back of that Ford pickup so I could see across the brush a little bit, started whacking the horns together, and every time I hit the horns together, we had buck coming in from every direction. And it stayed that way all day long. Went back out, the cold front blew in, and I thought, "Oh, my God, that's really going to be good." I waited for it. Wet front blew through, perfect conditions, light wind, cool, you know, in the 30s. And I went out there and hit the horns together until I nearly broke the horns and never rattled up a single deer 2 days later. And, you know, no rhyme or reason to it happening that way. Or same thing, go out in the morning when you get one of those beautiful, crystal, clear mornings. Ought to be able to hear those horns rattling for miles.
Yep.
Get the horns together, nothing shows up. you keep on rattling about 11 o'clock. All of a sudden, bucks start coming in, and they'll come in like crazy for about an hour or two, and then it all shuts back down again. So I've learned over the reality years, there's no real rhyme or reason to why some of this happens, but if you don't try it at different times and throughout different times of the day, you know, you'll never know. I mean, I've been on places where they said you could not rattle up a buck because there's a buck every 12 does. Well, guess what? For whatever reason, that one day that I was there, you know, I'd rattle up two or three different bucks each time we sat down. And so, you know, no real rhyme or reason, but and no real right way or real wrong way sometimes to rattle, just getting out there and making noise and trying it throughout the day. And whenever you get a chance to go hunt, take them with you and get the horse going. Something comes in, you know, say, thank you, Lord, for making it work today. And on those days when it doesn't, just say a prayer and say, please make this work sometime during the day.
Exactly. And you know, and don't, I used to be, years back, you know, I was afraid to rattle. I was afraid I was going to spook one, you know, spook the deer out of the woods. But that's not the case. I mean, I've rattled and looking at deer when I'm rattling, almost no interest. You know, did not spook them, but it didn't turn them on and get them running my way. I mean, I'd see down, know they could hear it. So, I mean, it's a natural sound, but at the right time, when it happens at the right time, that's makes it worthwhile. And I don't know how many people I run into, they haven't rattled up a buck because they don't stay with it. I mean, they've tried
it. They don't stay with it. Yep. And here's the other thing is a lot of times you don't stay long enough. If I got a big chunk of country I can walk, I want to cover as much country as I can. I don't stay in one spot long enough. A lot of times those older mature bucks, they'll come in as long as 20 and 30 minutes after you quit rattling, because they'll just stand out there where you can't see them and try to smell and try to see you know, what's going on before they come in. And so a lot of times in the past, and I'm thankfully, as I've gotten older, I don't walk as fast as I used to or walk as far, and I stay places a little bit longer. And so as a result of that, whereas in the past, I'd rattle for 5 to 6 minutes and wait another 5, 10, 15 minutes to get up and walk, spook bucks as they were coming in. As I've gotten older, I stay in that one spot a little bit longer. And guess what? Have I gotten older, but those older bucks have a tendency to come in slower as well, too. So, you know, I guess there is something good about getting older.
Yep. You know, I've become, see, folks, I'm not bragging here. I'm not. But I've become a much better deer hunter since I got older.
Me too.
What I've done is slowed down and stayed put.
You slow down and you see and you watch, whereas in the past, I mean, it's like hunting mountains. I know you get where you're going to mule deer hunt. I'd be on a mountain, I'd look across the valley, and I'd go, oh, my God, that's where I got to be, best spot. Yeah. I'd take off almost at a dead run to get to that other spot that I picked out, turn around, look back, and go, you dummy, you left the best chunk of cookie. You know, almost one lap back where you started from, and no telling how many animals you ran by, walked by, didn't see, because you're concentrating on getting from one spot to the other rather than really watching and hunting.
Larry, we're about out of time. But what we can advise these young whippersnappers is – see, folks, the boys, you got what you got to look forward to.
Amen.
Nature and gravity and everything's going to slow you down, make you a better deer hunter. Larry, I want to always mention Trailing the Hunter's Moon, your TV show, on every week on the Sportsman, not Sportsman's Channel, but it's you fill in. Yeah, that's right.
Yes,
the Pursuit Channel.
Yep,
and they can tune in right there and check you out and watch that show every week. You know,
absolutely,
and I know a lot of them do. Also, I get a lot of emails, Larry. Well, they are telling me to click the switches right now. So you're going to be back next week. And we're going to have some more fun, right?
Okay, absolutely,
folks. If you're a shooter, I need to hook you up with Hunter Supply. Now, Hunter Supply provides quality cast lead bullets for every facet of the shooting world, from target shooting to hunting. Hunter Supply bullets have been put to the test all over the world. They've taken a Big Five in Africa, as well as a lot of moose and grizzly bear in North America. Single-action cowboy shooters get their bullets from Hunter Supply, as well as air rifle shooters. You can go online to huntersupply.com and check them out. When you make an order, you need to be aware that the shipping is included in the price of the bullets.
Folks, for about the past 18 months, I've been using a Photon XT. by Sightmark. It's a night hunting scope, and you can use it during the daytime too. Absolutely awesome for hunting hogs. I probably kill 20 or 25 hogs using the Photon XT, and I shoot hogs at ranges of 100 yards and less. Now, it's not thermal. You won't be shooting 300 or 400 yards with it, but for most of us, and especially for the price, it is awesome. Now, the Photon RT is out now, and it has a camera mode sound on it. For a few hundred bucks more, you can get that model. I am just putting it to work, and so far, I really like what I found. But just go to sightmark.com and check them out. Folks, if you're in the market for a new feeder, I want to hook you up with my buddy Carl Harmon that owns Ultramatic Feeders. You can go online to ultramaticfeeders.com or simply give Carl a call, 877-428-4637. Carl makes some awesome feeders. I've got one that I've had in the woods either 9 or 10 years, and all I've had to do is replace the battery about every 3 years on it. Again, that's ultramaticfeeders.com. Folks, this is Luke. I want to introduce you to an awesome line of lifetime hunting blinds, Cantex hunting blinds. You can go online to CantexDeerBlinds.com. There's an online store there. And if you really want to get in one of them and check them out, they're headquartered right outside of Kaufman, Texas, just a few miles outside from downtown Kaufman. But the website, again, is CantexDeerBlinds.com. And there's phone numbers and everything, all your contact information there. Check it out and then give Richard a call over there at Cantex. He'll put you in a blind that you won't have to worry about.